The Five Rings Podcast, Road to Tokyo on the Sport Podcasting Network. Your weekly fix leading up to the 2020 Olympic Games with Dwayne Rollins and Kevin Larame. Follow us and listen to us live on Twitter at Five Rings Podcast and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Sports Podcasting Network for more content.
Good day, good night, and welcome to the Five Rings Podcast for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, Dwayne, it's the Road to Tokyo edition of the Five Rings Podcast up until the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. The question is, will there be a Tokyo 2020 Olympics? We'll try to answer that question. Of course, we're referring to the coronavirus happening right now in China, in Asia, spreading around the world. To this day, to this moment, Dwayne, around 425 persons have died. Over 17,000 persons have been infected worldwide about this coronavirus, and it has led to a lot of cancellations of major events happening in China and in Japan and in Asia, per se.
Yeah, look, I mean, it does seem a little extreme to be talking about this early, but at the same time, there have been major events moved before. Now, there is no more major event than the Olympics when you're talking about the sporting world, obviously, particularly the Summer Olympics. And, you know, I think it's also worth talking. We're the Road to Tokyo, but the Road to Beijing is going to be the next round of the Five Rings Podcast. And that's in China. So obviously that's 2 years away, or eight. So it's exactly 2 years away this month. So there's a lot of time there, and you would hope that this, you know, if we're still talking about this, then there's a problem. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But certainly this is something worth keeping an eye on. Now, I don't want to be alarmist when we're talking about this. And there are a lot of good articles out there that explain the overall risk. But when any new virus comes in and is causing panic like this one is, I think it's worth mentioning, and just in a general sense, how this affects major competitions like this and how the sporting world is not immune to the rest of the world, and how maybe they need to, you know, make arrangements to make sure that they are protected as much as possible from this. Now, you know, in Brazil, we had this as well with the mosquito-borne stuff, but Zika, but that didn't really work out too much. But nonetheless, here we are again. 4 years later.
Here we are again. It seems it will always be a case, but this is spreading really quickly, and it's gathering not just headlines around the world, but also a lot of worry across the world. Here is a beginning of an article on Fortune.com talking about this. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has said on Monday that Japan is keeping in close touch with the World Health Organization and other groups to ensure a coronavirus outbreak will not affect the Tokyo Summer Olympics. Abe's statement comes on the heels of rumors that Japan may cancel the Olympics over fears of the coronavirus, which has now infected more than 17,000 people worldwide and killed over now 425. Organizers had to refute rumors sparked on social media after a German news outlet reported on a meeting between the IOC and the World Health Organization, which did take place actually, and stated that the outbreak may have a significant impact on the games. We'll touch in a few minutes, Dwayne, on the few postponements and cancellations of event, but the fact that there was already a meeting between the IOC and the World Health Organization surrounding this coronavirus outbreak, or coronavirus, at least, epidemic, because right now it's an epidemic. When it's only in one population, one continent, it's called an epidemic. When it's over two, it's now a pandemic. But this epidemic is sparking a lot of worry. And Dwayne, just a caveat, that meeting could have been an information meeting also for the Tokyo 2020 and International Olympic Committee, asking the World Health Organization for more information and clarity on this outbreak, which could possibly be the basis of this meeting. But it's a lot to take in right now.
Well, for sure. And look, they'd be smart to do this, to make this plan. They'd be dumb not to, right? You have to plan for everything. You have to plan for the most extreme. No one questions it on the security side of things. They would do mock drills about a terrorist attacks all the time, and that's highly unlikely to happen. We've seen several Olympics without happening since Atlanta was the last time something significant happened at those, but they can, so they have to plan for it. a health problem, a virus problem, is always going to be an issue when you're dealing with an event that brings people from every corner of the world together and in close contact for a short period of time in a small area. You know, think about your own self on a micro level. When you fly, you're more often to come back with the sniffles, aren't you? And that's because you have a lot of people that you don't normally have contact with, and a lot of viruses that you don't normally have contact with that your body can't fight off, right? This is just a different level of that. And
yeah,
look, there will be stages to have something like to cancel the Olympic. That would be absurd, right? Right now, absolutely, that would be an absurd thing to talk about at this point in time. You're talking about a virus that has killed, and I don't want to dismiss the loss of life here in any way, but from a global perspective, has killed a very tiny amount, less than the actual flu does right now.
Well, less than things falling from buildings. I think there's statistics every year. There's like thousands of people dying every year from things falling off buildings and landing on people's heads. So, no, you're right.
Yeah, so right now, this is something to keep an eye on, just as we are. You know, I think the city I'm in is a little more acutely aware of these things because we have a large population that comes from the country that this is starting in China. And, SARS, the last time this happened, that was also coming out of China and it affected this city, which got shut down for a couple of weeks. So you can see how it can spread to another city. But Prakash, I think they learned from the SARS virus a great deal. And that is what I think is maybe happening across the world right now with a lot of people that have that experience within living memory. That was SARS was 2003.
2002, 2003. So yes.
Yeah. So it's not that long ago. Most people can remember it and they've learned from it. And I think this is part of that planning, but you know, in terms of these games, you're not going to just like snap your fingers one day and say, oh, well, too bad guys, go home. No, you're going to do stages. And the first stage would be, you know, perhaps to make sure that you would have close examination of who was coming to the area. You know, an extreme stage, but not the final stage, would be to prevent spectators, which would be unfortunate, but it would also be able to maybe happen. And then the third stage would probably be to move it somewhere.
Yeah, well, for sure. And those are good points, and that I was going there. Before cancellation, there'll be contingency. And don't get me wrong, there is contingency and protocols in place right now, probably, in the IOC and their modus operandi. There's probably a situation. Things will get even kicked into gear if it becomes worse. And, you know, right now it is an emergency, worldwide emergency, decreed by the World Health Organization. And we'll see if it becomes more serious, if it becomes a pandemic. But you mentioned SARS, 2002, 2003, of course, in the Toronto area, coming from China. It's a precedent. We've seen this. And it did lead to cancellations of events, and sporting events, cultural events, religious events, events from around the world. And this time around, there's already a few events have been canceled. The day after the U.S. government altered its travel advisory for China to do not travel, most extreme designation, by the way, the Boston Symphony Orchestra canceled its Asia tour. The UN, the United Nations Convention on Biodiversity was also canceled. The Asia Horse Week was canceled in Hong Kong. Rescheduling of events in Hong Kong has started for many different things. Sporting events are being canceled left and right when we talk about regular season, different type of sports in the different Asian countries as we are talking. So there is a precedent. But if you go back to your memory, Dwayne, in 2002, 2003, what was off the top of your head, or if you actually remember deeper than that, the effect on the local sports scene and local sporting events that were canceled due to SARS, which is a cousin, a distant but a cousin nonetheless, of what a coronavirus actually is. So there is similarities there, maybe some parallels to draw.
Yeah, to say for disclosure, I was living in New Brunswick at that time, but I was back in Ontario constantly because I'm from here, obviously. So I don't have intimate knowledge of what it was like in the city per se. I have talked to other people that were here that day, and it was a ghost town in Toronto. But there's also a lot of people that look back on it kind of fondly because it sort of made them connect with people a little bit more. And there's lots of stories about that at that time. And it came right on the backs of the hydro outage that we had for a week or so here too. So it was kind of a strange time in this city's history. In terms of the sports events, there were some canceled, yes. There were a lot less people doing public things during the duration of that, and then it very quickly surpassed to the point that, they had a massive concert at Downsview Park with, the Rolling Stones headlined, and it was a big public event that was meant to demonstrate that you shouldn't be afraid to be in public anymore. And this city quickly recovered. I was in the city immediately around that concert time, and I can tell you that there was sort of a belief that they should be out and we should be doing things to show that this is ridiculous, that we can't be paranoid, we can't live with fear. And I think maybe the response I've seen so far in Toronto to this, because there is that connection and there is a massive Chinese expat population here, there are a lot of direct flights daily from China. They have been reduced. There have been a lot of things that are taking place. The Canadian government is created a quarantine situation for Canadians that are coming back from the affected area, which is a bit extreme, and I don't know what I feel about that quite yet, particularly since it's being set up about 5 kilometers from my parents. But anyway, it's another story altogether.
Yeah, but of course. And there's also examples like that cruise ship now infamously being quarantined with 3,700 people aboard. And there's a lot of the same examples across the world of quarantine, of people taking their due diligence. And also, like, I'd rather be overcareful than not in these cases, because one case that propagates to thousands very quickly when we're talking about travel situation. And the Lunar New Year, of course, doesn't really come at a good time in this situation. And that's the one event in the Chinese calendar that actually makes a lot of people in China travel. And there's more people traveling now than ever before. So it's like a perfect storm for this thing to potentially become a pandemic. And I think that's where the worries and that's where contingency plans are being written and put into place right now across the world, across sporting events. We've talked about the Indoor Athletics World Championship, which is happening right now, a couple of days ago finished, I think, which I wanted to talk about this week, but I guess it got preempted.
Yeah. Look, and again, this is really early stages, and I think it's just important to be aware that again, that the Olympics aren't in a vacuum, that they have to operate in the world. And you think about this from the Beijing Winter Games in 22. 2 years apart, as I said, if we're still talking about this virus in 2 years' time, this virus has truly spread to a dangerous level, and that's a, we're probably not having this podcast anymore, right? We're probably, holed up in our little vacuum seal somewhere.
Maybe it's the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, no offense,
Yeah,
but
so that's not go there quite yet. But the point I was making that with that is if this was reversed, if this was a Winter Olympics year, well, I don't know what they'd do in the last second. They'd have to make a move. And I think that the message here is that the Olympics have to be able to be prepared to pivot. And the pivot probably would be to play these events or to do, either to defer, which would be probably choice one for most people because these cities have already invested a lot and they have the infrastructure ready to go. So you pivot out. And this is what happened in 2003 with the Women's World Cup, which was scheduled to be in China. FIFA at that point pulled the plug quite early and said, you know what? We just can't risk this. We don't know where this is going to be. But what we're going to do is we're going to assume that this is going to be figured out in 2008, or sorry, 2007. And you're going to have the World Cup in 2007, and we're going to put the World Cup in 2003, where it was supposed to be in China, is going to go to a country that we know can host it. In this case, it was the United States, and they were able to quickly pivot into that. Now, a soccer tournament's a little easier to do on a dime than it would be to do in the full Olympic Games.
Just because of the
But
multitude of events, different arenas, different time. But here's my solution to maybe that, or maybe here's an idea. And it's not just because of this pandemic. It's something I've been thinking about for a while, because if you're looking at big events in the world of sports, like World Cup in Qatar that's coming in 2022, and others, because of controversies and some things, that there's a lot of use of having maybe a backup, maybe having a number two city that its role would be to be ready in case there's something, and it's the future city to host the games after. So maybe in the future, I know that the games have already been awarded for 2024 and for 2026 and 2028. It's in the works now, and it's going to happen quickly. 2028, we already know that because that's how they do things now, a bit quicker. But maybe for after that, you need to name the same way they did now. You name example. Let's name 2032 goes to Reykjavik in Iceland. I don't know why I said that, but it's fine. It goes to Reykjavik in Iceland, Dwayne, in 2022. And in 2026, you already decide that it will go example to Melbourne in Australia. But for 2022, Melbourne's role is to be ready in case there's something wrong that happens in Reykjavik. There's a very, 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 very small percentage that it happened, very small probability that it happens. But if it does, there's a contingency plan there. There's already an idea of what we will do. And the uncertainty of the world of today, not just for health reasons like this, a possible pandemic outbreak that could happen, but also geopolitical reasons in the future, war, just war. Maybe we'll be out of water by 2032 in the entire world. And it's going to be the beginning of the water wars, but not like in the water world, actually like people battling for drinking water. So you never know what's going to happen. Maybe contingency plans will need to be in place, and maybe having a backup or a surrogate city, if possible. And that city, because if it fills that role this one time, it gets the Olympic 4 years after.
Yeah, well, I would say that it'd make more sense to have the city that most recently hosted be the backup, would it not?
Absolutely. But, well, of course. Yeah. It, for sure. It would absolutely. Yes, I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, so Rio in this case, or London. But then
what do you do if it happens back-to-back Olympics? The same place just got three Olympics because of, like, well, we got it because the other place were bombed.
That's like, you know what? We're almost there anyway. That's a topic that we'll probably have in another day. The other option, too, would be to have, you know, some people have suggested that having a permanent host is the way, the future of the Olympic movement. And I, on one level, don't love that, but on the other level, increasingly understand that maybe that makes sense. You know, sadly, it could not be Olympia. Greece, I think, has shown probably is not the place for that. But
I have an idea. So, with global warming, places on this planet are becoming way more hospitable than before. Antarctica has land underneath it, and soon it'll be dry. Soon it'll be warm, dear Dwayne. So maybe Antarctica, as a continent, becomes the Olympic continent. Literally.
Sure.
And you do the games there every freaking time.
As long Winter, as we're too. We're in a sci-fi podcast now, but at any rate, although there is some suggestion that as the ice caps melt, there's going to be more viruses come out of the ice caps that we haven't seen in thousands of years.
Good luck.
And now we're getting into a really weird kind of combination podcast here. But no,
this podcast is brought to you by Standard Life. Get your life insurance while it counts.
Exactly.
Let's continue.
Then to get back to this, though, look, I don't think there's going to be a problem with Tokyo. First off, I have maybe naive faith, but faith nonetheless that health professionals can contain this and that this will get dealt with in plenty of time for this summer. And, you know, it also – I have a geography degree. I know that Japan and China are not the same place. They're relatively close, but they're not the same place. So it should be fine. So there's that. But I'm glad that they're doing these precautions. And I think that's, you know, again, a positive thing. And there's no way to completely hide from this. Because, again, is not to belabor this, but if the Olympic cycles were flipped and this was China happening now, like, imagine this. We'd be 2 weeks away from the opening ceremonies. They would not have any choice but to bump this, I don't think. If that's the case, I don't know whether you'd move it, like maybe you flip it to the period of time for the Paralympics and hope it gets contained by then. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you'd have athletes not wanting to go, and that's the big problem there. We saw that with Zika, with, you know, particularly the golf field was decimated by it. It's a bit of a weird one because the golfers weren't buying into the tournament anyway. But
no, but they were the only ones that could use that as an excuse because we're outside for 4.5 hours. So we have the most risk there possible of being bit by a mosquito because we're literally where mosquitoes breed. That was probably an excuse used by a lot of them on that day.
There was a whole lot of nothing about Zika. Oh, God.
But to this day, though, I just went to Jamaica last summer and my doctor told me not to procreate in the next year. Just in case, because there's still a big risk factor. So those things, even though we don't hear from it after it becomes news, like after the cycle of news, the news cycle goes around to something else, we don't hear about it. But Ebola is still present around the world, same as this Zika virus. So we'll see what coronavirus does. But Dwayne, there's always a virus. There's always something, right? In 2014, it was Zika. And if we go to 2010, wasn't it like a fever? Everyone was worried about some fever in South Africa. So for the World Cup there and their first, there's always something, right? Okay, fine. When it was a Lillehammer, no one was worried about anything in Lillehammer. Fine, but you know what I mean.
Lillehammer was, I think that was everyone's ideal. Everyone wants Lillehammer to be back again. Today, when I would mention this on Twitter, our friend Tristan would say, we should have it in Lillehammer. I don't think Tristan's old enough to remember Lillehammer, but nonetheless, it's
I confirm to you, he was not. I was 10 in Lillehammer. Tristan was not 10. Let's put it that way, to be fair to the new member of the Sports Podcasting Network.
There you go. Look, you're exactly right. That is I'm taking this very seriously, as anyone should. I listen to the news every morning when I get up, and this is dominating the newscast. So the world is taking this seriously, and that's a positive thing. But I also think that we can't protect our life. We can't put a bubble wrap over ourselves and live in a vacuum, right? You know, we see people walking around the city wearing those masks, which is hilarious because they do nothing. They do not help you prevent getting the virus.
You're better off washing your hands than wearing that mask. That mask doesn't stop you from touching things. And guess what? Did you open a door today? You did? Well, you actually shook the hands of about 1,000 people.
Unless you're wearing one of those like full masks that they wear in warfare to avoid chemical warfare, you're not going to protect yourself from a virus. So,
unless you're wearing a hazmat suit, a hazardous material suit, unless you're wearing that one, you're probably at the same risk as we all are. So the moral today is pretty much wash your hands. That's the best thing you could do today.
Yeah, and even to that point, look, I think that sometimes we overprotect. There's a syndrome. We're getting really off the rails from an Olympic show today, but there's a symptom called clean baby syndrome.
Yeah, peanut allergies. I know. No.
It's true. We've protected them and cleanse the world to the point that we can't handle anything that's even a little bit weird, and our body like starts attacking itself over the strangest little foreign invader, even ones that are harmless.
Delicious. ones that are delicious. I agree.
Exactly. So here we go. But with this, look, hopefully this does not last into next year, although I suspect it will last to this summer. So again, I'm putting the Winter Olympics on the shelf for now, and hopefully it does not prevent the athletes from getting there. It may prevent people from traveling there that wanted to watch it, and that's unfortunate, but I'm not going to lose sleep over that. We've seen several Olympics where the amount of people that got to the country that they could has been limited because of where it's been. I mean, Pyeongchang was not exactly that well attended from other people outside the country, even from people inside the country.
Dwayne, when you were a kid and watching the Olympics, going to the Olympics wasn't a thing. You were hoping the Olympics would come to you. Traveling to the extent that it is today was not a thing 20 years ago, never mind 30. And how many Olympics did we have since then? It's been 4 to 5 Olympics, I would say, in the entirety of the Olympic movement, that traveling to an Olympic is literally a thing where most of the fans attending the events are coming from out of town. This is a new phenomenon. It's not part of the original ideology or culture of the Olympics. This is a recent phenomenon that we could do without it if we have to.
Yeah, and look, I was in J school in 2010, so I wasn't able to get to Vancouver. I'm a little regretful for that because I think it would have been delightful to be part of that party, but that's what it would have been, a party. And I would have went to 2 events, and I wouldn't have seen the games in the way that I like to see the games. You know, I'm planning on taking 2 weeks off work and sitting in front of 5 monitors and podcasting twice a day.
Like, so, honey, can you bring me my food? Okay, where's my neti pot? Okay, and where's my chamber pot? Thank you, because I'm not leaving my room. I'm staying here. I don't know who has to clean that pot. That's not my problem, but I'm not leaving the room. I'm staying here.
You knew who I was. You knew who I was when you married me.
You knew who you married. This is on you. That one's on you.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the point being, if this is going to, if that's, you know, I could see if I was elderly and I was planning to go to Asia right now, I may reconsider. But I am a, you know, relatively healthy man. that, you know, sometimes I can maybe make some lifestyle changes. Let's not kid ourselves. I just had some Ringolos for lunch. But
hey, it's a wheat product, right? So you're good. Got some, got some cereals in there.
Yeah, bad. Exactly.
Anyway. But, you know, all the cases of coronavirus so far are 40-year-olds and over. So maybe, who knows? But, yeah, it is affecting more the elderly population, and it hits a lot more.
Very young, very old.
Exactly. But there's no cases of very young yet. So it's something else. And, yes, it does come probably. There's a 96% match with a bat coronavirus, with this coronavirus. So it's probably coming from a bat, and it evolved to be able to be transmitted from a bat to a human, and then a human to a human. And no, it's not that stupid video of the lady eating the bat soup. Come on, Google it. You shouldn't be that naive.
It's also not the Corona beer. There were some people returning Corona beer.
Oh my god, yeah, that's just like not even worth saying something about it.
Well, it is funny, but nonetheless
funny in a way that, like, go hit your head on a wall funny, because you thought that was true.
Probably why they think that.
Hey, concussions. Let's talk about concussions.
It's evolved to concussions. No, look, yeah. It's something to talk about, because it is possible that this could have an effect. But I do think that there are solutions in here. And look, if they have to, if this does spread to the... No, I'm not making light of this. If this causes a delay in the Olympics, then we have more things to worry about than the fact that our swimming is not on TV, right? It means that there's a problem and people are really getting sick from this thing. So that's just hope that this is, you know, being dealt with that way, and that it's good that Olympics have all sorts of backup plans in place. And the more this happens, the more we learn. And I think, as I said, from the SARS virus in 2003, which I do remember, you know, from talking to friends and families that were living in Toronto and just being Canadian and watching it play out, because it was affecting a lot of Canadians. You know, we're more ready for it now than we were then. And I think we can pivot pretty quickly if we need to.
Let us know if you think the coronavirus will have any effect on the Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympic Games. You can contact us on Twitter, of course, at Five Rings Podcast, Dwayne at 24th Minute, and myself at Kev Larame. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Five Rings Podcast. And if you want to hear more about Dwayne and I's Olympic love, you can go to our Patreon page, available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. The next edition of Five Rings Extra is in the works, should be out before next week, talking about, yes, the 1976 Summer Olympic Games in Montreal. Episode 3 will be focusing on the Olympic boxing tournament, the sweet, sweet science of boxing in the squared circle with Sugar Ray Leonard, and that beautiful Olympic boxing tournament, maybe the last great boxing Olympic tournament. And we'll talk about that and more. But until next time, as always, usually I say own your podium, enjoy your podium, and enjoy your amateur sports. Today, how about everyone go washes their hands?